issues, music, and culture. That's Indian Voices, Sundays at 3 o'clock on KGNU.
I'm Jack Rummel. I'll be with you for an hour of recorded ragtime this evening. And tonight, we're going to explore the music of Charles L. Johnson. There are a few major ragtime composers where we try to feature their music frequently, sometimes every year. And Scott Joplin is one of those. James Scott, Joseph Lamb are a couple more. And Charles L. Johnson certainly fits into that category. Born, lived, and died in Kansas City, Missouri. Born December 3rd, 1876. Died December 28th, 1950. And a lot of new information has come out in a book by Philip A. Stewart called The Music of Charles Leslie Johnson. And so I'm going to be quoting extensively from Stewart's books as we do this. He says, "In general, it can truthfully be said that contemporary musicians usually overlook the importance of Charles Johnson's music, including his ragtime output. Certainly compared to Joplin, Scott, or Lamb, Charlie's rags are considered by many as, quote, second rate, an attitude born by an unawareness of the Johnson experience." He never went to New York's Tin Pan Alley where the big money was. Percy Wenrich, Arthur Pryor, Charles Daniels, Scott Joplin, James Scott were all from this area of Kansas City. But they all left to seek their fortunes elsewhere. Let's just get started on this. I'm going to start with Johnson's first published rag, which is called Doc Brown's Cakewalk. And Stewart says, "There's probably no city or town in the country that does not contain a particular character who is singled out on account of certain things that no one else would think of doing, and certainly Doc Brown was one of those. He was comical and unusual in what he said and did, but he was a champion cakewalker. He met all comers and never failed to, quote, take the cake." So let us listen to this wonderful instrumental, which is subtitled The Original Kansas City Rag. Here is Dave Tucker, who is going to bring us Doc Brown's Cakewalk from 1899. Thank you. Dave Tucker has brought us Doc Brown's Cakewalk. Let's move on now to another one from 1899. This is called Scandalous Thompson. And Philip Stewart says the following about that. He's talking about, I guess it was quoting E. Harry Kelly, who was a fellow composer, but he said, during my earlier school days, the school which I attended boasted of having the best football team in the city. The most prominent member of this team was a young man named Thompson. He was prominent not only as the greatest player on the team, but for being the funniest. One day during a game of football, Thompson made one brilliant play after another, and at every play, a Negro lad standing near me would make all sorts of exclamations using the word scandalous to the sentence. I learned that the Negro used the word scandalous to praise and show his appreciation, and that the word is common in that sense among the Negroes. This is a direct quote from E. Harry Kelly. So let's listen to Scandalous Thompson as performed by the Etc. String Band. Scandalous Thompson, and that was the Etc. String Band there. I should mention that Johnson's music was prolific and varied. He composed nearly 300 pieces during his life, twice more than Joplin, Scott, or Lamb combined, and all different kinds of music, and a lot of it, of course, as we now know, was ragtime. Next on the list, from 1902, a piece called A Black Smoke. And Stewart says, "A Black Smoke, one of the most influential of the early folk rags, has stop time and bar syncopation devices that were copied over and over throughout the ragtime era. And the cover, hence the name, shows a small oval photo of a young black boy smoking a cigarette, far too young to be doing that by the norms of the day, in fact, by the norms of today." Let's listen to A Black Smoke as played by Bill Edwards. Professor Bill Edwards has brought us A Black Smoke from 1902. Moving on through Charles L. Johnson's works, we come to 1904 and a piece called Iola. Following the success of Charles N. Daniels' famous Indian song Hiawatha, Charlie decided to get into the act and wrote his first and best-selling Indian song, Iola. It is noteworthy that Iola and Hiawatha were named for cities in eastern Kansas and had nothing to do with Indians. It was published, as I said, in 1904 and sold very, very well. In 1906, he sold the copyright to Jerome Remick, who got further publication and further sales for it. But interestingly enough, in 1940, a song came out entitled Playmates, and it so resembled Iola that Johnson's sued, and Johnson himself didn't sue, but the owners of the copyright sued, and received a substantial cash settlement as a result of this. So here is Iola, an Indian intermezzo, and here is Sue Keller. Iola, as played by Sue Keller. Well, we come now to what was probably Charles L. Johnson's greatest hit. The year is 1906, and the rag is called Dill Pickles. And Stewart has the following to say. By far the biggest hit was Charlie's most successful ragtime composition and his personal favorite of all his nearly 40 ragtime pieces, Dill Pickles. The first rag to sell a million copies was Scott Joplin's Maple Leaf Rag, but Dill Pickles was the second one. It made use of the 3/4 syncopation, which has been used in a lot of other ragtime pieces, famous ones, including the 12th Street Rag. The story goes that as Charlie sat writing this rag, a man came by eating a dill pickle. The man asked Charlie the name of the tune what he was working on. Charlie asked the man what he was eating. And when told it was a dill pickle, Charlie said he would call it Dill Pickles. So let's get right on with it. And here to perform it is Squeak Steel. Thank you. Squeak Steel, a great performer from Virginia City, Nevada, has brought us Dill Pickle's Rag by Charlie Johnson from 1906. In case you joined us late, we are listening to the music of Charles L. Johnson as based on a book by Philip A. Stewart, which came out recently, called The Music of Charles Leslie Johnson. So let's move on now. The year is 1908, and we come to a tune called The Powder Rag, which was the second best-selling Johnson rag after Dill Pickle's Rag. And our version this evening is by the New Orleans Ragtime Orchestra. Powder Rag from 1908 is played by the New Orleans Ragtime Orchestra. Well, this next one is not well known. It's an example of the fact that Johnson was writing so many pieces and trying to get them all published and so on that he began writing some under pseudonyms. And so this piece called Beetleumbo was written under the pseudonym of Raymond Birch. And it says, it's an excellent rag that makes use of unexpected syncopation in the left hand as well as some stop time, but it was seldom recorded in the past and it's rarely heard performed today. However, we do have a very nice version of it for you this evening by Dr. Dave Majak from, St. Louis. Thank you. Dave Majak has brought us Beatalumbo from 1908, as supposedly composed by Raymond Birch, a.k.a. Charles L. Johnson. Moving on now to that same year, 1908, we come to a tune called The Harvest Hop. It was originally published under the name of Charles L. Johnson's Barn Dance. And copies of that are very, very rare because shortly thereafter, perhaps due to the proliferation of barn dance music that was flooding the market at the time, Charlie changed the title and reintroduced the tune as The Harvest Hop. The music is exactly the same, just a new title and a new cover. Here to play it is Kevin Sanders and his quartet. All right. Kevin Sanders. Kevin Sanders was playing the guitar. Pat Ireland was playing the fiddle on that one. And we heard The Harvest Hop from 1908. From 1909 comes a little different piece. It's called Tabasco. And Stewart says the following: one of Johnson's lesser-known rags was written in waltz time. Tabasco was published by Jerome Remick in 1909. Although Charlie wrote over 24 waltzes, this was the only syncopated one. So let's see what Craig Ventresco can do with this, the talented guitarist from California. Craig Ventresco on guitar and Tabasco Waltz from 1909. That same year saw the published two of Johnson's most melodious works and still popular today, Applejack, subtitled Some Rag, and Porcupine Rag. Applejack is one of his best efforts at ragtime, according to many music historians. So let's start with that one. And on tap are the members of the Raspberry Jam Band. ¶¶ Applejack, Some Rag, the Raspberry Jam Band. And the other one from 1909, Porcupine Rag, an upbeat, cheerful tune, lightly syncopated with very lyrical style. It makes the listener feel happy, so says Philip Stewart. The cover shows a large porcupine with quills standing straight out. Here is Richard Egan. Porcupine Rag, fine version there by Richard Egan from the St. Louis area. Let's turn now to one from 1911. It's called Comeback, C-U-M-B-A-C. And I have the Palm Leaf Ragtime Orchestra queued up. I'm hoping that this will play. If not, we'll move on as quickly as we can to something else. Thank you. That was the Crazy Bone Rag from 1913 by the Porcupine Ragtime Ensemble. And I didn't have an opportunity to tell you a little bit about it, but it was a big hit in the year 1913. It sold well over a million copies that year. And the A strain is very similar to that of Dill Pickles, which maybe explains some of its popularity. Also, Johnny Maddox had a big hit for it in 1950s. So, the Crazy Bone Rag. Let's move on now to one lesser known called the Peekaboo Rag from 1914. Let's see what I can find about that one. Well, it is in a dotted note pattern, typical of foxtrots. So here is the one and only recording I have of this piece, the Peekaboo Rag, as played by Barry Morgan as part of a gathering of the Circle of Friends in the Scott Joplin House in St. Louis. Peekaboo Rag. About that. The recording was... All right. I'll get myself together here in a moment. Let's turn now to a piece called The Alabama Slide, very rare piece by Charles L. Johnson from 1915. It also is composed in the foxtrot style, which was so popular in America at that time. Here to play it for us is John Remmers. Alabama Slide is played by John Remmers. All right, what you're hearing in the background is the Blue Goose Rag, written in 1916. It's our final piece for tonight, and named after a popular restaurant in Kansas City. Also composed under the pseudonym of Raymond Birch. But it brings our program on Charles L. Johnson to a close. We've drawn heavily from the book written by Philip A. Stewart, The Music of Charles Leslie Johnson, and tried to pick out some tunes along the way that might entertain you. So thanks for joining us tonight. Our salute to Charles L. Johnson, and I hope you'll come back again next week for some more great ragtime.
It's 9 o'clock, SKGNU Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. You've been listening to Ragtime America with Mr. Jack. I'm going to send it over to Dave Gloss right now. Take her away, Dave.
This promises to be an interesting show, not only for you, but for me, because I was getting very frustrated after 2+ hours of trying to get iTunes to work to put together my show this evening. Finally, I just decided it was Snap, Crackle, and Pop night here on Swing Shift, which means, of course, vinyl night. And we're going to mix some Christmas tunes with a glimpse of recorded advertising from Columbia Records in 1953. So be sure to stay tuned. I think you're going to have some fun and hear some tunes you haven't heard before. We're going to start out with a Christmas song with Tex Beneke, Paula Kelly, Ray Eberly, and the Modernaires, obviously in a Glenn Miller mode. Here we go.
Lots of toys.